You're listening to a sermon podcast for a time like this from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. So here we are on the third Sunday of Advent, in the midst of what can only be described as a strange and difficult time. So many things have been upended over the past 9 months, and now even those more hopeful and relatively open days of the summer seem all but a memory. And perhaps nothing makes us more aware of the strangeness of the times than this walk toward Christmas, a Christmas that will be, no, must be, unlike anything we could have anticipated last year at this time. I know so many people who are doing their best not to let it all weigh them down with disappointment. Lights and decorations are up in their homes, perhaps earlier than in past years. And online orders have been placed for gifts. Lots of people intentionally shopping locally with click and collect. Plans are being set for how a Christmas feast might be shared, with some talking about delivering cooked meals to the doors of family and friends and then rushing back home to share it all together on Zoom. There's actually a bit of delightful creativity coursing around us in that way. And yet, for so many, it's going to be a hard day that will fold into a hard season in which the best thing we might be able to do is hunker down and wait. Wait for the springtime. Wait for the vaccine to be distributed. Wait for the virus to ebb in its spread. Wait at least for a day when we can visit and gather and garden and just be outside again. It isn't always easy to wait, and certainly not when you have no idea as to how long it all might take. Will things actually ease up by the spring? Or is that hoped-for springtime really as much a metaphor as it is an actual timeline? Prophet Isaiah knew a thing or two about waiting, which is why we so often read from Isaiah during Advent. We read tonight from one of the later chapters in the book. Those words reflect both the experience of exile in Babylon, a crushing experience for God's people, and the beginning of a return. The people had waited for decades in captivity with no sure horizon as to when they might be set free, if at all. Yet this voice kept singing over them, this prophetic voice saying essentially, God has not forsaken us. The day is coming when we shall be free. And beyond that day, an utterly peaceable kingdom will dawn. Swords into plowshares. And in tonight's text, the promise of good news to the oppressed, the binding up of broken hearts, liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, comfort to all who mourn, the proclamation of the coming year of the Lord's favor. They did taste those things at least a little bit, as they were freed from captivity and allowed to go home and rebuild their devastated city and its temple. Foretastes, perhaps, of something more eternal. At the beginning of his adult ministry, Jesus plainly and clearly identified himself with these very words from Isaiah, saying that in him it was all being fulfilled. It was a very hard statement for his fellow Nazarenes to hear. The neighbors heard it as a prideful thing, boasting, or perhaps even the ravings of a man going mad. They rejected him. At some level, who can blame them? It was an audacious claim that Jesus was making. I am the stem of Jesse. I am the key of David. I am the desire of the nations. I am Emmanuel. You? That's unfathomable. They too were living in difficult times. A nation subjugated by the Roman Empire, living under its iron rule in a precarious political arrangement that could be toppled at the whim of the emperor or his local governor. Yes, there were rumblings of a zealous uprising, a revolution, but in their hearts the people knew how unlikely that was to succeed. Difficult, difficult days. And so what might Mary have made of the words delivered to her from Gabriel? You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then again, Mary's question back to Gabriel is far more likely to come to the mind of a young woman, a teenager, in fact, living an unexceptional life in an unexceptional place, betrothed but not yet married. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I mean, I know at least a few of the things of how babies come to be, and none of that has happened yet. Joseph is still establishing himself, building the dowry. We're not yet married. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Gabriel answers. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. But is that any easier to believe, to accept? I imagine that in the space between Gabriel's words and young Mary's reply, all of creation held its breath. And then, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. This reply is bold, and in its own way, as audacious as anything Jesus ever said about himself. But then again, so is the very fact that she is presented with a moment of answering. The coming of the one upon whose life all things hinge somehow needs the consent, the let it be with me, of a teenaged Galilean peasant girl. Strangely, all through the Bible, it does seem to be the way that God tends to work. The greatest of things are often done by the most unlikely of people. And their choices are real, the role they play, crucial. I've cited Madeleine L'Engle's little poem after the Annunciation in years past, but it bears reading again because it catches the lovely wildness of this moment. This is the irrational season, when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child. Now, this particular irrational season is one in which we are challenged to light candles against darkened skies, find ways to embrace one another when we can't be in the same spaces, sing out with courage in our own homes, and feast as a proclamation of how things should be, and in time will be. Oh, and it's an irrational season in which to be attentive to those moments when we might just feel the Spirit nudging us to do something, something kind, something generous, something good, something right, for someone else, right now, in this season, in this irrational time, to feel that nudge and say, here I am, the servant of the Lord. May it be so. I will do that thing to which you've nudged me, God. This is also a night where we are going to celebrate another kind of feast, and one which brings an ancient story up so close, it is as if it were present to us in the moment. One which proclaims how things should be. We are going to break Eucharistic bread together. There's five of us in the church here, but all of you at home, in your own spaces, which are also sacred spaces, the Spirit of God is not limited by stone walls and stained glass, by no means. I hope those of you who are participating in live stream have that bread placed at hand. On whatever table sits before you, maybe with a candle burning and cloth laid out on it. Again, as I said at the beginning of the liturgy, Bishop Jeff has asked that we use bread only for a time. We will have a very little bit of wine in a cup set out on the table here, which is a part of telling the story in its fullness. But be assured, whether or not there is wine on your table, breaking bread together in this way is still fully a communion. That sentence we usually say when we break bread here, this is the body of Christ, behold what you are, become what you receive, that's a powerful statement of that truth. Those of us who are here will all receive our bread at the conclusion of the liturgy, when we can safely distance, remove our masks for a moment, and receive that bread. Yet even with that delay, and even across this online platform, we are one with you, for we are all grains of wheat in the one body of Christ. And so it is that we feast in this, the irrational season. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church, including further resources during these days of the COVID-19 global pandemic, or to provide support for our online work, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. Thanks for listening.